You're listening to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. I am your host, Erica Russo, psychic medium and intuitive development coach. This show is all about giving you the conversations, tools, and wisdom you need to live life the intuitive way. Whether you are waking up, wanting to develop your intuition and connection to spirit, or wanting to live a more magical life, I got you covered. I give you grounded, practical, and insightful content that helps you wake up, level up, and connect with your soul. I'm excited you are here. Let's wake up together. Hey guys, welcome to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I'm really excited you're here. If you are an OG and you keep coming back, you keep listening and growing and expanding and stepping into that higher level version of yourself, if you continue to heal and grow and learn to trust those little whispers from your soul, thanks for doing that. Thanks for being you. Thank you for your continued support. I appreciate every single one of you, every single download, every single like, every single follow. You guys make this so easy for me, and I love doing this podcast, and I love the conversations that I have. And if you enjoy this podcast, if it brings you some joy, if it brings you tips or tricks for your spiritual path, or if it just makes you forget the muggle life for just for 30 minutes each week, if you can head on over to iTunes and write a 5-star review, those reviews allow me to get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. And I think now more than ever, with the shit show of life that we are living in right now, I think these conversations and these tips and this wisdom can really help a lot of people. So I would really appreciate that. But before you go ahead and click submit, make sure you take a picture or a screenshot and send it to me at hello@ericarusso.co, no M. And I'm going to send you something. I'm going to switch it up, actually. I was sending my soul alignment activation, but you know what? I'm going to send something different. I'm just going to intuitively choose whatever it is I feel like sending you. So if you are interested in doing that, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. So before we dive into today's episode, I also wanted to let you know that I decided, well, first and foremost, I was that back in 2004, 2005, I was that girl that was obsessed with making mixed CDs. Yes, not freaking playlists, because back then we really didn't have that available to us. It was like, you know, old school burn CDs, and we put, you know, stars and cute faces and LOLs all over with permanent marker, and we put it in our CD player in our car, and we just jammed out. And I just remember I would spend hours and hours just loving making these playlists and making sure that like it all kind of flowed nicely. And I just really enjoyed doing that. So I have decided that I'm going to start doing that each month. I'm just going to start creating monthly playlists of songs that I feel are really connected to the month's energy. And what you have to do to get those playlists is just head on over to my website. First, you're going to grab my list of 15 intuitive exercises that are going to help you strengthen your intuition naturally. I have a bunch of stuff in that for you. And then you're going to be on my email list, and you're going to get monthly playlists from Spotify, all catered and intuitively chosen from me. You know, and I'm just so excited about it. I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do for April. But if you're interested in doing that, head on over to my website so you can get access to those each month. They're going to be delivered to your inbox. And I feel like I just want to say how I appreciate the playlist. Sometimes, you know, I just feel like music should be appreciated. Music should be an experience, right? So whether that is, you know, ordering takeout from your favorite restaurant and giving yourself a nice glass of Pinot Grigio and lighting your favorite candle and just sitting at your dinner table with your husband and your kids and just having the music on in the background. Or maybe it's when your kids are at school and you create a nice cacao drink or a tea or whatever it is, and you just sit in your living room with your tea and journal while the music is playing in the background, or you're just jamming out in your car. Have it be an experience. You know what I mean? I feel like we go through life sometimes because we're so busy with everything that we need to do every single day that we forget to truly just be present in the moment. And I think that when you experience music, and when you experience these playlists, I want you to really experience them. I really want you to just be so captivated and truly enjoy yourself. So gather up your favorite things, hold your favorite crystal while listening to them, or just be in the car locked away from your children, you know, drinking a milkshake, just driving around aimlessly. But I want you to truly become one with the music and just listen to the lyrics and just allow it to flow through you. That's the magic of the music. And we just have to get out of our monkey minds to experience it, right? So with that being said, I connected yet again with my good friend Jenny Duranix, and we had a wonderful discussion. We started out with some of our rituals when it comes to, you know, having a reading for a day, and then we talked about the moon rituals, and then we just kind of let the conversation flow naturally. And it's always an incredible time connecting with her, and I'm so freaking proud of her because she has finally decided to launch her own podcast, which is called Spirit Call, and you can listen to it everywhere. Congratulations, Jenny. I'm really proud of you. The world needs to hear a little bit more of what you have to say. So kudos to you stepping out of your comfort zone and doing that. I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode. And again, make sure you go ahead and get on my newsletter so you get the download for my new free freaking playlist that I'm going to be intuitively choosing each month. Just because I love to do it and I'm incorporating more joy into my life because that's what life is all about. So enjoy this week's podcast. All right, guys. Today I have the wonderful Jenny Duranix back, and we decided, because I get a lot of questions regarding rituals and the things that I do before readings or any sort of spiritual work, I figured I'd bring Jenny on so we can talk about our rituals and what we do to give you guys maybe some, I don't want to say advice, but just some things that maybe you will feel called to do in your life or before your readings or whatever the case may be. So Jenny, thank you.
Hi, Erica.
And first off, let's congratulate Jenny on launching her own podcast called Spirit Call, which is available where, Jen?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. So definitely be sure to check that out. I listened to the first couple of episodes and they're wonderful.
Thanks, Erica. Honestly, you gave me a lot of strength to be able to do that. So, I'm glad. Thank you.
I'm glad. I think the world needs more Jenny in and available to them. So I'm glad that you finally answered the call. Because I know it was on your mind for a while. So
I'm glad.
So, rituals. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to be completely honest. For me, my rituals are so ingrained within me, not only in my spiritual readings, but just in my life. And we forget. We totally forget.
Yeah.
So tell me, what, as a psychic medium, as a mom, as a person who is spiritual, what does your day look like as far as rituals are concerned?
So you mean a day where I have a reading? Or a day,
where you have a reading.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, got to get the kids off to school. So that's fun. And I think for me, I need to have that space, that transition space between family life and reader life. So I always have at least an hour in there. And then it's different every day. it's sort of like you say, it's so ingrained that it's just become a natural thing, right? But music, there has to be music of some
what sort. Kind of music?
Oh, whatever I feel like that day. I listen to a lot of different kinds of music. So
me too.
Some like Kundalini style, yoga type, meditation-y music, or heavy metal, whatever I feel like that day. And it really, you know, the purpose of it for me is just to shift the energy, right? So, and I think so many people worry about, is this the right kind of music? Is this the, am I doing it properly? Is this spiritual enough? And blah, blah, blah. Music is good. There's no right or wrong way to listen to music. So yeah, music. What else do I do? I try to find a way to tap into gratitude and humor. There were times where I was like, I was in this like phase of not having a lot of music that inspired me. So I would put on comedy, like 10 minutes of a YouTube, you know, Jim Gaffigan. I don't know if you've heard of Jim Gaffigan, but he's hilarious. Just something to make me laugh.
Raise your vibration.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's kind of it.
And that's just, you just do that right before a reading.
Yeah. In that hour leading up, you know, it'll be definitely within the last 30 minutes is when I amp that up. But yeah, just kind of sitting, feeling my body, feeling grounded in my body. If I'm doing a mediumship reading, I will start to just kind of reach out to spirit, mm-hmm. so to speak, but not for the purpose of connecting yet. I do not try to connect at all whatsoever until the person is sitting in front of me. I used to like, okay, they're coming.
Yeah, we gotta make sure.
I need to like, okay, who am I starting with? And like, give me an idea of where to look when they get here. And now I'm like, no, you know, the reading starts when we sit down, because I don't want to get all kinds of thoughts in my head about, right? About who and what and all of that. So yeah, just reaching out to spirit, like I said, just to say, you know, come close to me. What can we do today to really lift this person's soul and send them off feeling like they were that much closer to their loved ones, you know? Mm-hmm. So just, I think creating that energetic atmosphere, welcoming that shift, that higher, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I love that though. Mine's definitely similar. You know, I love how you said you need that transition time, because I've realized this past year I need it as well.
Yeah.
I definitely need it as well. You know, I wake up, I try to wake up earlier than my kids and, you know, meditate and do all of my stuff that I want to do for myself. And then I have to feed the dogs and let the dogs out 5 times. And then, you know, make sure the kids are, you know, okay to go to school, brush their teeth, all of that stuff, get them to the bus. And it's so busy here. It's so, you know what I mean? That chaotic energy in the morning as a mom, like it's just, you know, so many moms will just come back home after putting the kids on the bus and just sit and drink their coffee after they have to microwave it again. And it's like, we have to do the same. I couldn't imagine, you know, my bus comes at 8:09. I couldn't imagine having a reading at 9. I couldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to. So I like to start my readings at 10 now. And that time, it is. That's what I basically do, is I take a shower and then I'll go and I'll put on Abraham Hicks in the background while I'm getting ready, which really helps me raise my vibration. And if it's a mediumship reading, I do like to just basically what you do, like not open up fully, but invite.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good word. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I don't want the reading to start even prior to my sitter coming.
You right. know what I mean? And then, like you said, we can get in the way. Like if we open up too early, then it's like this person comes. And it's like, I've learned not to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But I do. I'll, the way I signal it is I'll just go to my altar and I'll light some incense and then I'll set the intention of like, okay, spirit.
Yeah. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But again, it's so ingrained in me at this point. And then something also that I do before any reading, mediumship, or psychic is I just put my feet firmly on the ground on my Himalayan salt blocks to ground myself. And I'll just take a couple of big deep breaths and just kind of take inventory of my energy, you know, my mental, physical, emotional self, so I know what's present within me. And then I just say, I'm a clear and open channel in which spirit speaks through.
And that's awesome. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll pull a card for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I will pull a card and ask, what do I need to do to best serve this person that's coming for a reading? You know, like, what do I need to know about myself or what? Yeah. You know, the card is for me. And then other times I'll pull a card for them before they come. You know, how can I best serve this person? What do they most need to hear today? That kind of thing. Whether it's a psychic medium or a psychic or a mediumship reading, I'll do that. But I don't do that every time. And it's crazy how many times I have a mediumship reading and I do pull that tarot card and I get the death card. Like I'm going to say 5 times a month. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's crazy how many times I get the death card. And, you know, when I'm asking, how can I best serve this person that's coming for a mediumship reading and I get the death card, I think the answer is pretty obvious, you know, help them to feel their loved ones in spirit. And so that just kind of grounds me too, I find, to just, again, it's not opening up necessarily. You're not starting the reading yet, but there's just that kind of intention of, okay, I am putting myself to the side as best I possibly can and getting ready for this person that's coming. And doing your best.
Biggest thing too is putting our shit to the side.
Yeah. Not always easy, is it?
No, it's not easy. It's definitely not easy because, you know, and there's been times as a reader where shit hits the fan in either, you know, my business or personal life or whatever. And then I have a reading.
Yeah.
And I know that I cannot show up 100%. Mm-hmm. So I will reschedule. Like that's something that I will do because it's like, you know what? I want to energetically be 100% there for this person.
Yeah.
And if I am like losing my shit.
Yeah.
Because we like, do. You know what I mean?
Like, and anxious and like angry and.
Right. Like, you want to come into this work being cool, calm, and collected and disconnected. That's what I like to say. Because a lot of times, you know, if you're not mindful enough, I've seen a lot of people go into a psychic reading being the reader and then projecting their own fears into the reading.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want that, you know?
No, definitely not. Do you have like a, have you caught yourself doing that? And if so, what do you
have? I'm going to be completely honest, you know, because we have to also remember that coming into a readings, a lot of the times we're someone's last resort,
mm-hmm.
right? That's just the way it is. A lot of times people, you know, who come to see us feel like they're at rock bottom or they're in tumultuous situations and, you know, maybe they are just, they have no idea where to turn to. And in those cases and everything like that, we can quickly create a story of what is happening, you know what I mean, and have our own judgments about it. But I always really try to just breathe. That's my biggest thing. Cause we can create the story while I'm doing the reading and, you know, I'm picking up the situation and, you know, the havoc that's happening in the present time. It's very quick for us to realize what exactly is going on, but we have to discern. We have to use discernment when we speak it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And for me, I always try to say, is this coming out of love or is this coming out of fear?
Yeah.
If it's coming out of love, I'll say it. If it's coming out of fear, it might be me projecting my own belief system.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, them projecting it upon me and I'm picking that up. But, you know, especially with those things that you might pick up that are not positive, but not negative. You know what I mean? Like maybe... I don't know, just characteristics, I want to say, or sometimes it's substance abuse or something along those lines. And when we do that, I'm just very mindful of being like, okay, is this coming out of love or is this coming out of fear? You know, because, you know, sometimes people are not aware of their own addictions. They don't think it's an addiction.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So it's like, how do you say that?
Yeah.
It definitely puts you in a pickle. It definitely puts you, you know, as a reader, you put yourself out there to, you know, a lot of the times, like I said, there's people that come to you for help and guidance and, you know, maybe they're going through a spiritual awakening themselves or, you know, they're in a very traumatic place in their life regarding, you know, relationships or something like that. And it just comes down to the point where it's like, I think if we always lean into love, mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing.
Totally. You
know, we can give them hard truths. And that's what I try to do is I try to give hard truths, but I also like to lean into love. Mm-hmm. I like them leaving better than when they came.
Absolutely. Same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. And I think that that's just the thing. And because a lot of people are just going to tell you what you want to hear, you know, and that's not going to bring you healing. That's not going to bring you true transformation. Sometimes you need to hear the thing that you don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about all of the times I've heard the things I don't want to hear.
But how many of those things, like all the times that you heard things that you don't want to hear, how many shifts or changes that you made in your life afterward?
Yeah. I mean, that's better. I think that's where you find the strength to kind of take hold of your life again, right? When things might be headed down a certain path. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you.
Go for it.
Do you still, I'm going to say still, because I believe that most mediums as they're starting out on their readings have that queasy, antsy, kind of like barfy feeling in your stomach. Do you still have that before a mediumship reading? And what do you do?
Okay. Well, one, I don't know if I told you this, but when you did your first spirit call and you called that woman up for the reading, you said very quickly before you called her, I'm really nervous and I have the butterflies in my stomach.
After
and
5 years of doing this full time, it's ridiculous.
And when I tell you, just listening to that was like a breath of fresh air for me. It really was. It was like a breath of fresh air because I still get it. Not so much with psychic, but mediumship, because it's not, we're not in control. We're not in freaking control. We're just not. We're just opening ourselves up for spirit communication. And ultimately, there's three things that lead to a beautiful mediumship reading, and that's spirit discarnated, spirit the medium, and spirit incarnated. Mm-hmm. If your client's coming in needing it too much, or if they're coming in wanting you to be a fucking magician, it affects the energy and the vibration within the room, and it's going to affect the reading.
Mm.
If maybe I had a reading like 2 weeks ago, and it was a grandfather, and I couldn't, and he was discarnated. And I was like, I'm like talking to my sitter and I'm like, I cannot for the life of me, he will not come close. He says he doesn't believe in this shit. And she starts laughing because that's exactly what he did. But it was like, also, if someone didn't believe in this stuff when they passed, it might be hard for them to manipulate the energy, or they're just uncomfortable, or I don't know.
I've had so much of that lately. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
This exact thing where you can see them standing over there, but they're like 10 feet away and still right up in your face. And to me, it feels as if there's a fog in front of them. And it's like they need to walk through this fog. And then once they do, we're good to go. But sometimes I'm like, why are you doing that? What's going on here? And then it dawns on me, oh, they didn't believe in this kind of thing. What do you think that's all about? Like,
I don't know.
So what do you do when that's happening? What do you do?
I just try to be, honestly, like, what I've learned with spirit work is that as we gain a reputation here on the earth realm, we're also gaining a reputation in the spirit world. And I take this work very seriously. And for me, it's like, I just try to, like, I don't know, be inviting. If that makes, you know what I mean? I just try to be like, not stern or anything like that. I basically just try to put out there in my energy being like, listen, I have your loved one here and they'd love to talk to you and I can help you do that.
Yeah.
You know, and
say like, you know, no judgment.
Right.
You know, just come close when you're ready.
Right.
And then instantly there's a shift.
Yeah. Usually there is. Yeah. You know, I think that we have to remember that they were people too, and they're adjusting, you know, depending on how long that they have passed. But for me, it's more like, I want them to be like, I want spirit to know like, oh, she's good. Like, she's a good person. She'll get my message across. She's able to feel me now. So let's see if she could, you know, get my message across.
Yeah.
And they always do end up kind of coming closer.
Why wouldn't they? Right.
You know?
They have the opportunity to speak to their loved one.
Right.
Still here. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
that's what I love about those readings when it's usually a man.
It is. It's usually a man, usually older, stubborn. Older.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when they finally do come through, it's just, it means, I think, even that much more that they made such an effort to kind of to get in there, right? So interesting. So you still get the queasies, eh? I
said that I honestly was like, oh, thank God. Thank God she said that. Because I think you just being able to say that and do this for 5 years, you know, for the mediums that are just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard Teresa Caputo say it.
Yeah.
That she
don't think it goes away. I'm just like, okay, I'm now comfortable with feeling like I'm going to vomit every day of my life. Like, it's just the way it is. And I, you know what? I think if that's not happening, I'd probably be more freaked out. Like, oh my God, it's not working. You know? Yeah. So as soon as I start to have that, I just know, okay, yeah, spirit's coming close, right? Mm-hmm. It's a good thing, even though it's so uncomfortable. Why does it have to be that way?
I guess it's our human.
I know. It's our physical, dense bodies that are just like wanting to be full of light. And light is coming close to us. And
because it's our human. It's either, I'm still kind of, you know, because I get that fucking nervous, uncomfortable as shit energy every time I have like a mediumship reading or something like that, because I don't know why, you would think by now it would be, you know, it is what it is, but it's, at first I'm like, is it just because I'm nervous and I'm not in control of like how spirit's going to come through? Or is it just my ego, you know, because I'm stepping outside of my comfort zone and putting my consciousness or raising my consciousness, is this my human having a temper tantrum?
I don't think so. I think it's the first one. It's the unknown piece. And then I think that it's probably a built-in like warning system. Because when you think about it, if you are about to lend your body and mind to somebody else who's not in a body and they are going to delve into your physical apparatus, I would want a bit of warning that, yeah. You know, even though I feel that, you know, nothing can ever hurt you in that way, but I think it's something you give permission to, right? But, I kind of think that that's our alert of,
making spirit communication or
yeah. Yeah. So that, to me, that would be why it doesn't go away, right? Because after thousands of readings, doing this full time for 5 years, like I said, you would think that I wouldn't be nervous in that way, or that, yes, you know, it's an unknown. You never know who's coming today. Like, I don't even look at the person's name in my calendar until like 5 minutes before they come, because I don't want to know. You know, they book online, they come. That morning I open up my calendar and look. And so, yeah, there is that unknown piece, right, of what's going to happen. But, yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's going
anywhere either. Damn it.
So what do you do, right?
Just so what do you feel the nerve? Like when you do a platform demonstration, is it the same nervous energy or are you more afraid?
I'd say it's the same. I think that the unknown is the unknown, right? Like how much worse can it get sometimes with that stuff? Mm-hmm. I love platform. Like that is my favorite place to be, which is ridiculous because before this, I couldn't even like get up in front of my class and do a speech. Remember when you had to do speeches?
Oh God, yeah.
Ugh, horrible, agonizing. I think that I literally didn't even go to like college or anything because of things like that, right? So anyway, platform is my favorite place to be. So there's more excitement. And like, that's the other thing. You got to remember nervous and excitement. Like they're the same thing. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So are we excited? Maybe we're excited. Oh my God, spirit's coming. I'm so excited I could barf. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
It is. It's the way it's how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's very quick. Like the energy is, it definitely does feel like excitement.
Yeah.
But I think our monkey mind will jump in and be like, dude, you're about to like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, do something a little crazy.
Yeah. You realize you talk to dead people for a living. Like, yeah. So anyway, breathe, right? Like that's all you can do.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are days where you're getting ready for a reading and the energy is so crazy and intense and overwhelming and you just put on the music and it's not working and you get a drink of water and that doesn't really help. And sometimes I feel like it's this like buildup of like, okay, the only thing I can do is just breathe. And then at the end of the reading, this will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that having a very strict ritual of, you know, music, then sage, then meditate for 15 minutes, then whatever. It doesn't always work that way.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, when you're first starting out, it's easy to think that you need to have a structured, strict
routine. Oh God, I was that person.
Yeah. I think we all are at some point.
Yeah.
We want to analyze, okay, that worked. Mm-hmm. How can I make sure that works again? And to me, isn't that control? And isn't that us being afraid of the unknown, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, it's just a way to try to grasp something when really just surrendering to the fact that you talk to dead people and that dead people are going to show up because they do every single time.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can do is get out of the way and take a breath and
yeah. I think that is the biggest thing for, especially for me, is I'm always like, you know, the fear of them not showing up and me claiming to have the ability to communicate with people yeah. who have passed over and then spirit not showing up. But honestly, I can honestly say spirit always shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Always shows up. Always. They never yeah. not, they never didn't not show up.
Yeah, I know.
And I think that that's definitely something, you know, definitely starting out as a medium, like what if they don't show up, you know, what, I've never had them not show up.
Mm-hmm. Same.
You know, and just knowing that, I think that helps a little bit, just a little bit, but it's still, you still get that nervous energy every single time.
Yeah.
You yeah. know? So as far, so that's what it looks like for a reading, a day in the life of a reader. Now, what are some things that you do just as a muggle? Like, what are some of your rituals?
A lot of the same, you know, music is, I can't survive without music. Same. I can't survive without salt baths.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yes, I shouldn't say I can't survive because we can survive without those things, but they really, really make my life good. And so, yeah, I, you know, I've really been trying to tune in with my cycle lately. And like writing it down on the calendar sounds ridiculous, but getting in tune with the weekly cycle, the monthly cycle, matching that up with the moon. Mm-hmm. And I, every month I will pull a month's worth of cards. So like week one, week two, you know, this is my card for the week, and then putting them all on a calendar. So you've got your card, you've got where you are in your cycle, you've got all like whatever it is that resonates with you. Right. But I find that that stuff, if we're talking rituals, helps me to be able to not expect more from myself than what is realistic. Because at the end of the day, I think as sensitives, as mediums, empaths, whatever, there's this constant feeling of, are you doing enough? you should be able to go to that. You should be saying yes. You're a giving person. You know, all of those things where I should be trying harder in this area and I should be putting more effort in here. When I have that kind of laid out, I can just trust, okay, this is the time where the energy is likely to be high and the energy is likely to be low over here. And so how does that come into my family life and my reading life? And, you know, it sounds really complicated, but it's actually super simple. But it's that whole piece of don't expect more from yourself than how you're actually feeling that fucking day. Why do we do that? Right?
Love that. So do you do this with an oracle deck and you just pull the cards and you leave them out for the month?
I have a calendar that I like a big sheet calendar that I write everything on. I use tarot. I use like the Rider-Waite deck for my monthly stuff. And then I'll do tarot, oracle, whatever. Sometimes I do daily pulls too, right? Like you can never pull enough cards.
You really can't.
Although I think sometimes you can. I've gotten myself into trouble by pulling too many cards before, but.
Oh yeah. I mean that, yeah. You know what I realized too for myself is as far as full, you know, Celtic cross spreads are concerned, I only give myself two a year. I can't do any more than that. I can't do it.
Wow.
Because I drive myself crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you will overanalyze everything.
God.
You know what I mean? And the Celtic cross spread is a very diverse spread, and it can show you, you know, 6 months, 3 years in advance. So you don't need it every day.
No.
You don't need it, you know? And the energy, yes, will shift and everything. So what I do is I usually do it near the summer solstice, and then I'll do it New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve. I think that 6 month span helps, you know,
mm-hmm.
for sure. But, you know, when you're first starting out and learning tarot, I think it's very, you know, you want to give yourself a spread every single day. Oh, and then you're pulling the tower card, then you're pulling the nine of swords. And it's like, you know, and then you
time frame.
And like, it's like, just chill, you yeah. know, just chill. And I stopped doing that years ago, because I was like, I'm just gonna, because you know, you pull a card and you go freaking haywire if it's the tower, if it's this, if it's that. And it's like, even God, what happened in November? I pulled the tower card one day. I am an anxious mess all day long, like waiting for something to happen. You know what I mean? And I'm like, why did I do that? Like, why did I feel so drawn to pull the tarot today? Why couldn't I just be in the lovey-dovey oracle world? You know what I mean? Where it's like, your angels are with you and you're manifesting and all that shit. No, I had to, like, for some reason, I decided to pull, you know, Rider Waite Tower. And then that day, I found out that my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law had COVID.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, I think that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've gotten myself into trouble with pulling cards for myself. So
yeah,
because for me, I have this like commitment that if I'm pulling a card, I'm taking the advice of the card. I'm not pulling a card and being like, yeah, that's too hard. You know? Don't ask for advice if you don't want advice.
Ooh.
So if something comes up, I have to do it. So I am careful about when I pull cards and what I'm asking, because there's times where I would much rather avoid things. But yeah, you know, having that commitment to whatever comes up, I have to do.
Oh, you're a badass.
I know. Such a badass.
Cause I'm even like, you know, some of the times I'm in a mood and you know, the tarot is just a bitch and I'm just like, who asked you anyway?
Yeah. Well, that's when you reach for oracle cards. Like you right. said, your guides are with you and yeah. they love you. Light is coming.
Magical today. Being of light. Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Oh, but God. Wow. Wow. So whatever. So is this like you listen to both tarot and oracle when it comes to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's bad. There's times where I'm like, give me a card. And it'll be like, you need to call that person that you haven't spoken to for 3 months because they're mad at you. And I'm like, what? Call them up. Like I've done it. I do it because like I said, don't ask for advice if you don't want advice. And it can't be more obvious, right? When you get that card that is like, yeah, I know I need to do this, right? So you just do it. Just do it.
Good for you.
Because there's more to come, right? Like if you're going right. to ignore that, you're going to hold yourself in a place, mm-hmm. whatever place that is. You know, feeling good or feeling shitty, whatever it is. And I like to move through things, I guess. Maybe that's because I'm a Taurus. I'm a stubborn bull. I want to move through things and I don't know.
You just want to get it done. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, good for you. You know, for me, I feel as though I'm, for me, I feel like I already know the answers to like what I have to do, and I'll pull cards for just validation.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever asked advice, actually, to be completely honest. Like, I've never asked advice.
Oh.
Maybe I'm, like, be doing, you know, I do the card a day, or like I'll be like, tell me what I need to know about, you know, just a general reading of my next 6 months, or, you know, what's blocking me right now, or mm-hmm. something. I never ever asked for advice.
Oh
shit.
Sorry.
But it's good to know that if I ever need it, I can do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that every spread I do has an advice card in it. I've never not asked for advice.
Wow.
And like, it's like you said, you already know the answer. You already mm-hmm. know what it's going to tell you. So
this is
nothing new. It brings it out of your head, puts it on a card in front of you, and then you're like, damn it. Now I can't ignore this anymore.
Yeah. Wow.
Another question for you.
Go for it.
What do you do at the end of a reading? I know we kind of finished talking about reading rituals, but can we go back to that? When you're done a reading, when the person's leaving, you're getting up, they're walking out, what do you do?
So when I always try to leave at least 5 to 10 minutes open after the reading for any questions or anything like that, like anything that they want to talk about. But after we get off, you know, like the old school TV screen where like it turns off. Mm-hmm. I literally kind of envision my chakras turning off.
Okay.
Kind of like that old, you know what I mean? How you like press the dial. And that's really it. And if I have a candle lit, I'll put it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like the candle going out is a pretty big
validation.
Yeah.
Even with like mediumship circles and everything like that, I always light a candle, and at the end I turn off the candle, and I think that's my I know that that's my indication for spirit, like we're gonna work, you know, we're gonna work now.
Yes.
But yeah, that's what I do with every reading.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't have like a
don't want your chakras open. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever had a reading, then you ran to Target or Walmart?
Oh, totally.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Floating the whole way. You get there, and I'm like, how did I get here? What am I doing here? Everything's buzzing.
Yeah.
How come I can't see?
Yeah. You literally feel the people that are like 10 feet away in the aisle. Like they're like right in your auric field. Like,
yeah.
I don't like that. Then because I'm very, very overstimulated all the time. Like for me, I'm very much a highly sensitive person. Sound is really, really a trigger for me. And with like the, you know, my kids' games and TVs going on and everything like that. Like I don't watch TV. I don't usually have background, you know, besides like Abraham Hicks or my music, because I cannot. It's way too overstimulating for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I have to be very cognizant of like closing down my chakras.
But would you, so this is something I think about a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can close down your chakras, but you mean like
not so sensitive, not so open.
Yeah, not like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you can't, your chakras are always there. Sometimes they're blocked. Sometimes, you know what I mean? They're healthy and balanced. But when you're doing spiritual readings, you open them up, specifically the top three, you know? Yeah. And you can get really spacey.
Yeah.
And that's why it's just important to, you know, even if it's, you know, even if after you do spiritual work or something like that, like you do the zip up method by Rebecca Campbell that I, you know, that we've spoken about or anything, it doesn't have to be, you know, something, but you just don't do it. You're going to be overstimulated. It's horrible. It's horrible. You know, you forget you're talking, you're having a conversation mid sentence and you forget what you're talking about.
Well, I'm like that all the time. I don't, there's no amount of blowing out candles that's going to fix that for me.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Like, I'm literally like looking at my husband and he's trying to have like an important conversation with me. And it's literally going in one ear and out.
Yes.
The
yeah.
And I'm like, I need to go put my bare feet in the grass right now. Mm-hmm. I'm over it.
Yeah. I think there are days where there is no getting around that. Mm. You know, like I said, you know, the candle goes out, the closing down of the chakras or whatever it is, the TV screen, like having those things.
Mm-hmm.
But then for me, there's times where it's kind of hard to come back to like 3D reality.
Yeah.
When you've spent, if you've spent a full day doing readings.
Yeah.
Like let's say 4 hours. Of your day, not really here.
How many readings do you do in a day, max?
2 to 4.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's like 4 hours. That's three.
That's a lot.
Even 2 hours is a long time.
Yeah.
Not really here, right?
Yeah.
So I think the days where I've done more, I just have to know that like, dinner is probably going to be like toast. Here's a carrot stick, children. Mommy cannot think right now. Where I just, yeah, it's tough coming back to doing all the things, right? It's like you said, in the morning, rushing around and getting them ready and getting out the door, getting them on the bus, whatever it is. And sometimes in the evening, it's me sitting on the couch with my eyes bulging out of my head. You know, what can you do? Because you know what, I watched Hollywood Medium last night, and I've never really
Tyler Henry.
Yeah. And the only reason I watch these shows is because it's so lonely being a medium, isn't it? Sometimes where you're just like want to sit down at the end of the day and relate to somebody. That's why I so love talking to you, Erica.
I know. I was going to be like, it's not that lonely. I'm right here. I know.
Aren't we the best? Anyway, he said that if he takes like 2 weeks off, usually by like the seventh day, there's this like building up of energy that he just has to do a reading to get it out. And it validated my whole life. Do you have that? If you haven't done a reading for a little bit, you kind of feel like there's like a backlog.
Oh yeah.
That like the only way to get it out is to give someone a reading.
Yeah. See, I think it's just energy. You know what I mean? It's an energy buildup. So you can do a reading. You can absolutely do a reading. But for me, when I get that energy buildup, I write.
Mm. See, I write. I do all those things too. For me, I think it's the element of helping somebody. Like that serving piece too.
Yeah.
Where the energy's there. I need to get it out somehow. And it usually, in my mind, the best thing to do is to help somebody. Like to just have that exchange of, you know, giving, because, and this is what, I'm always thanking my clients, like, thank you for supporting me. They're saying, thank you for connecting me to my loved ones. And I'm saying, no, you don't understand. I feel like I might be getting more out of this because you're letting me do this to get this out. You're letting me help you. I receive so much by giving a reading. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And I didn't know if you felt that way too.
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. And again, like with that energy buildup, it's not just the reading for me. I think you decide what you want to do with that energy buildup.
Yeah.
But for me, it's more of like when I get that energy buildup, it's like, okay, I either have to write or I have to do a podcast episode that wasn't planned and just speak about a certain subject or, it's gather these, you know, trainings up and make a bundle and sell it at an incredibly low price to help people. Mm-hmm. That's how I channel that energy.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it when that happens. You know,
I do love it when it happens, but the scheduler in me, the person that needs everything like organized and I have my whole year planned out and everything like that, hates it. But my higher self knows that I have to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I do, I feel great afterwards and the results are always beautiful. You know, when you have that urge or that, you know, and I think that a lot of the times, so many people, we're supposed to create.
Yeah.
We're made to create, whether that is food or reading or healing or whatever it is. I think all of us are made to create something, whether that's pottery or, I don't know, scrapbooks. You know, that's the joy of life. And I think that a lot of the times people aren't creating and they're taking that built up energy and it's manifesting into anxiety.
Oh, totally. Or
uncomfort. You know what I mean? Whereas if you just allow that energy to flow through you in a way that feels good to you, you might be surprised that it's just backed up energy.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Hey, look at the word inspiration. In spirit.
Ooh. Never even.
Don't you get it? You're inspired. Spirit is in you. I know, it blows my mind. I love that word. I love that word. And that's just it, right? When we're not being creative,
mm-hmm.
we're not creating. I think we're always creating. I think just being here, we are creating, right? Mm-hmm. But when we're not tapping into that, it's like, yeah, I think you're right. It can show up as anxiety and you feel like shit.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it doesn't have to be like, I think like when we hear the word create, I think people automatically attach it to artist.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's like, no, that's not true. That's not true at all. You can create in so many different things. Create just means truly to live. I believe, you know, yeah. leaving your mark, you know, whether that's whatever it is. And that's why it's like, find your joy, find your happy, find the thing that you can do for hours and lose track of time and do more of it.
Yeah.
You know, so if that's reading, if that's being of service and, you know, offering mediumship or psychic readings or pulling cards, or in my case, it's creating bundles and, you know, blog posts and writing, just find it and do it and just see and just notice your own energy afterwards when you allow yourself to create in the way that you want to create and see if there's a difference,
mm-hmm.
you know, just saying.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
So let's talk about moon rituals. Do you do anything as far as like new moon or full moon that you love to do and want to share?
Nothing super structured. I try to remind myself a few days before the full moon, just so that I can be like, oh, it's the full moon. So that's, you know, really handy. And also, oh, you want to spend lots of money because of the full moon. Maybe you shouldn't go shopping. Those things are helpful. But I try to do like a new moon and full moon spread. We've already discussed how many spreads Erica does here versus Jenny. So lots of spreads over here. If I'm doing a ritual, there's probably cards involved. I can't think of what else I would do.
I mean, if I'm doing a ritual, I started to pull one oracle card for the ritual, just because I want to see the energy that's within the ritual, what I have to channel in, you know what I mean? But yeah, I just, that's so funny that I can't do it because I'll overanalyze. I know myself too well. I'm good with the two a year.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. Right? Do what fits for you.
Yeah. Do you do like full spreads for yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I create my own spreads too, okay, most of the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why it's a little bit different, that it's not a strict, you know, it can be, here's what I feel today. Okay. What do I most need to know? What do I most need to let go of? That kind of stuff. Okay. But it's different every time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
What about you? Do you do moon stuff?
I do moon stuff. I don't do much in the winter because it's too cold and all my glass jars break. So yeah. I stopped making moon water for the winter, but I'm probably going to do it this month, which is, I'm very excited about, but I do moon water. And I don't take out all of my decks because that's too much. It's too much.
Like moving out.
Right. It's like moving out. I don't have time for it. I'll put out my most used decks. So okay. Like my Alice in Wonderland tarot goes out and my Lightseers tarot goes out and whatever I've been working with, you know, actively. And then I'll gather some of my crystals. I can't gather everything. You know what I mean? They just grow. It just grows. And it's like such a chore. And I'm not doing that. Like I'll get the crystals that like, you know, I've been really like hanging on to my fluorite because of wanting to focus in on writing the book. So that will go out. I have this aragonite that I've been really helping. Yeah. It's been really helping me just kind of ground, you know, that will go out, but I can't, I ain't doing all that.
What do you do with this moon water?
I will. So it's the only way. Well, my kids look forward to drinking it because I put like clear quartz in it, or I put a tumbled amethyst in it, and we call it magic water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really great to have your kids drink the whole thing of water.
Yeah.
The whole jar, because it's like, you know, having them drink enough water is
impossible.
Yeah. It's like impossible. So they actually like look forward to drinking the water, which is great. I usually just drink it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll drink, as far as like psychic readings are concerned, I'll drink the moon water with the amethyst in it. If I'm feeling low, it's the rose quartz. If I need energy, it's the clear quartz. Sometimes I'll put it in my bath if I'm feeling springy, if I made enough, but, yeah, that's really it. I like to drink it.
Nice.
Yeah. What do you do with it?
I've never done it. I know. No, I've never done that.
I love it.
It tastes different. You notice a taste.
Right. Just try it. Like I put crystal in it as well. I always put like a tumbled stone, and I have noticed that, cause I need to like prove to my monkey mind everything, right? Like I need to prove that it's actually working, and it does. Like if you do a jar of regular water and you keep it inside, and then you go and you put the moon water outside with the crystal in it, taste the difference. It tastes clearer.
Mm.
It's really cool.
I'll do it. When's the next full moon? I have no idea.
I don't know. At the end of the month? Soon? What day is it? What year is it?
I don't fucking know.
What planet are we on? I don't fucking know.
No. No clue.
Who am I? What am I?
You're a spiritual being having
a human experience. Yeah. You should try it. It definitely, I love it. But again, I haven't had it in months because it's too cold here. So I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how about if someone's listening right now and they are diving into their own spiritual practice, if they're diving into maybe offering readings for somebody else and they're listening right now, What are three pieces of advice you would give them? Did I not give you enough of a heads up?
I'm trying to think of three really good things.
Okay, I'll give my three pieces of advice. Okay,
you do it. You do it.
Okay. When it comes to readings, when it comes to Oracle or Tarot, put down the fucking books. Put down the books. Take a big deep breath, right? There is magic within the Tarot. There's the imagery that are on these cards help trigger something within one's subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before you go and you're running to all the books and everything like that, close your eyes and just state the intention. Like, I want to see the story. Show me the story behind this spread and see how it plays out. I think another thing is do what feels right for you. You know, me and if you guys saw her face right now, like do what feels right for you. You know, me and Jenny just shared what we do, you know what I mean, and what works for us. But if you feel called to sit in the power for 30 minutes before a reading, do it. Mm-hmm. If you feel called to go and hug a tree before a reading, do it. Make your own ritual. That is the thing when it comes to the spiritual path. It's yours and yours alone. But I do feel like rituals are important, you know, especially doing spiritual work.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, personal, whatever it is for you, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like you said, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You need one more thing. That was only two.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think.
Somebody who's just starting out.
Someone who's just starting out. Don't be so worried with the scary cards of the Tarot.
Yeah.
Because they are scary. Like if you look at the scary cards, they're like intimidating.
What cards are you talking about, Erica?
Like the Nine of Swords, the Ten of Swords, the Four of Swords.
Swords.
Basically all swords. No. The Tower, the Death card. I love the Death card.
The Devil. Yeah.
The Devil.
I don't see them that way. I don't see them as bad. I never have. I guess
they're not technically bad. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you look at the imagery, right, and if you read some of the definitions of the cards, they can be less positive than some of the other cards.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, life has ups and downs, right? There's uh-huh. It's never going to be all one straight line. Right.
But so, I can't help but say all the stories, like when people are just starting out with the Tarot and they do a reading for themselves and they pull a card, they lose sleep over it. And it causes so much anxiety where it's almost they're manifesting this card because they pulled the card.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. It's okay because it's okay. Like, you know what I mean? I've seen the Tarot card just indicate that someone that was close to me got COVID and they were told, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they were fine, thank God. But that was a big upheaval. You know what I mean? Because my brother-in-law works with my husband and things had to be shifted. It was a, you know, uncomfortable upheaval, so to speak.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a tragic thing
or your whole life.
Right. Right. But I guess those are my three pieces of advice at this present moment. What are yours?
I still don't know. I think it's the just bringing the fun and lightness to things, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to be talking about hard shit with people, whether it's mediumship or psychic, right? And so just finding that balance of bringing something in, even if it's just looking at a shit show with a sense of humor sometimes, mm-hmm. right? Not every time, but that lightness for sure, humor. And I say it every time, so maybe this is why I'm trying to fight myself and find something else, but it's surrender. Like, it's my favorite word, apparently.
Just, I think it's all of our
things. Letting go, just, you know, just trusting.
Surrender is the hardest part, when I tell you, like, it's the hardest part of this whole thing.
But you get better at it as you go along, because for me now, I think what's harder on me is resisting. When I feel that I'm trying to control something or resisting letting go or just like panicking and getting in the way of shit, that is more uncomfortable now than me just going, okay, what can I even do right now? I'm wasting so much time and energy stressing about this and worrying about that. And, you know, it's easier to surrender. You will learn as you go along. Do I have to give one more thing?
You don't have to. It's that hard.
No, it's not that hard. It's just, I just could say so much, right? Surrender, trust, lighthearted, gratitude. It always comes back to that. Thank you, Spirit, for sending this person to me so that I can help them in some way. And, you know, when you think about it, helping one person really actually does change the world. Like, that sounds so ridiculous, but it does. Like, energetically, it's been proven that it shifts the whole freaking world. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm grateful for you, Jenny.
I'm so grateful for you, Erica.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much for coming back on. Be sure to check out Jenny's podcast at Spirit Call. She's wonderful. I'll see you guys soon.